Jason was of the mindset that it shouldn't come down, and I was of the mindset you can't say that until you work the issue out.
That was Shanti Parikh. She's an associate professor of anthropology in African and African American studies at Washington University.
She's talking about the crux of the conflict she and her husband, Contemporary Art Museum board member Jason Wilson, have over the recent controversy about an exhibition at the institution. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler. And this is Cut and Paste. So a little elaboration about the couple and the controversy. Wilson also owns Northwest Coffee Company, and he's known for his part in a 2014 reality TV show called BAP that stands for Black American Prince or Princess.
In the show, Wilson was that voice of reason that every group seems to have. He kind of sees himself in that role again in this uproar over the exhibition.
Several people, including some CAM employees, say that pieces in the exhibition are demeaning to Black people. The images portray African American subjects. One is a replica of that iconic Birmingham civil rights photo in which a police dog is attacking a Black teenager. It's splashed with chocolate. The artist, Kelly Walker, is white.
I actually first encountered Wilson and Parikh during a panel at the museum that was held on art and the Black body. Wilson got up and defended Walker's work, saying that he thought it should remain on exhibition. And then Parikh got up and said a completely opposing viewpoint. Their opinions have tempered somewhat since then, and throughout this conversation, you'll kind of hear a little bit about the evolution of their thinking.
What has this discussion looked like in your home? Have there been disagreements, and how did you handle that?
So my nieces and nephews were at the table one night listening to Shanti and I talk about this, and I got kind of upset. I tend to raise my voice a little bit sometimes.
And our 6 and 8-year-old were there.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah, so my 6 and 8-year-old are there. And by the way, they know about everything. So they know all about racism.
That a Black woman's body was large on the wall with toothpaste on it, and even they were like, "Well, what is that?"
Yeah, but they're aware of all these issues that affect our community. And Shanti and I don't guard them or shield them from any of these types of things because they've been faced with it at their schools where they've been called a name because of their color.
But to the question, we.
Yeah, but to the question, yeah, the point is that we discussed it, and it was a heated debate, because they all had a perspective.
Jason was of the mindset that it shouldn't come down, and I was of the mindset you can't say that until you work the issue out. You have to sit down and have a conversation about how can we make this right? How can we, what are the grievances? What is the hurt? So I did not think that the idea of it, about it staying up, should have been a foregone conclusion. I thought as any institution that is there for the community and whose mission is to promote inclusivity and is supposed to promote a progressive way of thinking about the world and is supposed to advance our community, if that's the goal. If the goal is only to show art, that's one thing. But that's not what I understand the goal of the Contemporary Art Museum. If it's their goal to do that, I don't think any decision should be articulated until a full discussion is had and until you maybe even have an advisory board, until you bring people onto the table and say, well, how can we make this better?
And Jason, what was your reaction and your feelings about the work when you first encountered it?
When I saw them, I thought this was going to be kind of cool based on what's been explained to me with the intent, right? The whitewashing of the Black body, the whitewashing of history and who controls that narrative. Which is right up my alley, since I always talk about controlling the narrative, right? So for me, I thought it was great, and I was eager to, have the community have this conversation about racism and institutional racism, and breaking barriers, and how people perceive themselves as African Americans, and how white people perceive African Americans. And just having that dialogue about what does it look like and how does this artwork affect your thought process. So I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty interesting.
So one of the things that I'm curious about is, we're asking you a lot about how you first became aware of what's going on. Could you just tell us also about the minute that you learned about the kind of controversial moment that was the artist being approached about what his intention was with this work?
My thought was, well, this guy, he'll be well prepared because this is not the first time he's shown this work, and I trust that Jeffrey's gonna prepare him, for what's going on. And I know he was going to do that. I know he did that. And then, but when I found out that he did a horrible job, then I was pissed off, because I was like, you let us down, as people, as an institution, you let us down, because you know we're in this community when you can leave and go home, and you might get some publicity from this, but we have to stand here and have to deal with this, right, and have to work from there to get back in the good graces of the people.
Just so we're clear, basically what happened was during the initial artist talk, the presentation at CAM, the artist was confronted by Damon Davis, Khalil Irving, and a couple other local artists about the work, who wanted him to explain basically his relationship to the work and the black body.
Exactly, exactly.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jenny Simone was at the artist talk and actually asked Walker directly about what he thinks about race in his work.
The race issue? I think I deal with the body more so than race, and the body both being the mechanical or the machine, like the computer or the record player, as well as the body being an organic, material-based being.
Shanti, you said you started out with skepticism, but were willing to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt for the sake of art. At what point did it turn for you? Was it at that event, artist talk, or before then?
Right. I did not attend the artist talk. Jason and I went to the opening. I read the captions. And then when we went home that evening, I did some research to see what is his commentary about his art. And so I went online and I looked at interviews. I looked at other kind of critiques of his work. And in nowhere did I see an explanation of what he had hoped the intention was. And I know the gallery that represents him, Paula Cooper Gallery, has since put out a statement, and their statement is the role of the artist, it has been said, is to ask questions, not to answer them. Kelly Walker's art centers on the use and reuse of images. And I think in a case where you are taking images from a community that has been historically marginalized, and its use of the body, the use of the black body, has been used to profit by other people and trafficked by other people. I think in today's climate, you have to account for why you yourself are benefiting trafficking off of the uses and abuses of the black body. The ones that were the black body that are controversial are the largest ones. They are very striking. They have an ominous presence in the museum. And not to be able to speak to why black women's bodies, why these particular issues, why the civil rights photographs that have such a strong symbol in the black community, why can't you tell us why you were doing that? And just to leave it as, well, that's an artist's license, I think might not be the most ethical way to do things. So I think at that point is when I thought we do need to listen to what black artists in the community are saying and how they would have represented it if it's their own work.
And during Kelly Walker's talk, several St. Louis artists actually confronted him about his work and his relationship to race. Chief Curator Jeffrey Uslip defended the work.
He is the one contemporary artist of our generation that is thinking through history, race, identity, and their lasting, evolving, and rotating implications.
And as we know, some of those black artists and arts professionals work at the Contemporary, and indeed they, put out a letter that called for the removal of those pieces and a boycott, and also the removal of curator Jeffrey Uslip. So what was your stance, Shanti? Do you agree with those things? Did you agree it should be removed?
I think it should be a conversation. I don't know if I'm in a position to decide whether or not they're removed. I know that the position in the art world is once you start removing art, other artists won't want to share it because art is supposed to provoke controversy. I'm of the mind that if a museum does decide to remove something, they are making a bold statement. And if they are afraid that it is going to mean that other artists don't show there, then I think that's a risk they have to take. Now, I'm not saying I think they definitely should remove them, but I think that that should not be a conversation that is easily foreclosed. I think that they should sit down with the community, with people who know art and who are engaged in this dialogue, and say, how can we make this an exhibition that is palpable, and what can we do? And there needs to be some institutional change in the art world.
Would you say they made a mistake in showing this?
I think not about showing it, but in about how it was packaged. I think at any point, a bolder statement could have been made. A bolder statement about what this represents in today's day and age. A statement about how this particular controversy is wrapped up in larger controversies about cultural institutions and who gets shown in cultural institutions. If this art were done by a different person, would it have gained as much traction?
Meaning what kind of different person?
If it were made by an African-American person, would it have gained as much traction? I don't know. Who's shown in particular museums is always an interesting issue. I do think it was a missed opportunity for the cultural institutions to actually make a statement about the use of black bodies and the hurt that using black bodies, trafficking in black bodies, profiting from black bodies. We have to answer for that, and somebody has to be held accountable for being able to say what the intention is.
And Jason, when I first heard you speak publicly about this, it was at the Critical Mass conversation, which was held at CAM and was about basically art in the black body and became specifically about this work. And you didn't express an exactly similar response that Shanchi just gave. I'm curious about what your response was then and whether or not that has shifted over time.
Yeah, it hasn't shifted at all. My thoughts then were that the art is going to, I think it needs to stay up. That was my perspective. That was my opinion. And I think it needs to stay up now still. And we need to have this conversation. I don't want people dancing around these ideas and these issues. And I also don't want there to be a tit for tat also when an African-American artist does something that someone, there's a group, in a certain ethnic group or a certain community that doesn't like what was put on the wall. And then all of a sudden that person's being boycotted just for the tit for tat and missing the point. So I want there to be, just a fair and balanced approach to this process. Leave it up. Let's have this conversation. And CAM is going to do everything they need to do to make sure that it's people understand their intent going forward, you know. And that's where I think Shanti and I differ. I'm more stronger in an opinion about this situation. It's not necessarily about, as a board member, the fiduciary duties of my, based on what needs to go on. It's also just about, I think people need to do a good job of just communicating. Because you can't, you can't bring like a certain energy to a situation that's not called for. And this is one of those situations where someone didn't die, somebody wasn't murdered, but we're having this conversation. It was large, and to listen to Khalil, Lyndon, and the rest of the folks up there talking about how they felt, the passion. I mean, I was like, I'm in 100% agreement with you guys. I get it. Let's continue chatting about it. But that's just how I am. I feel like in order to get in control of the narrative, you gotta make some stuff happen. So that's just kind of how I felt about the situation.
One of the things this points to for me is it depends who launches a claim that something's offensive. So for any community institution, if the right constituency who has power, who has money, is offended, something will be changed. And to me, as part of a community that is marginalized and our voices aren't heard and demands that we make are sometimes just washed over with, oh, sorry, we didn't mean that, I think this is a critical moment that reflects how that is happening. We weren't the right community to actually push for change in this exhibition. I haven't seen a bold statement come out that acknowledges exactly what it is that black artists and the black art community was offended about by this. It's more just they were angry. They were it wasn't specifying what exactly the claims are. And what ends up happening then is it just seems like a group of community members who were upset, as opposed to an institution that has a very powerful role in our community being able to articulate as an entity what some of those precise offenses were, so that it can be digested by the community that might not understand it or that might not thought about it.
I do want to say that that night, the claims that we're talking about, Shanti, that you just spoke of, the specifics, were stated that night. And so I can't...
But by the panelists.
Right, by the panelists, right.
Not by Cam or by Paula Cooper.
Right. But it was what we're talking about. The panelists are the ones that needed to state the claim by being specific about what it is that we're disappointed about. And so I don't speak for those folks, although I'm sure they might be in agreement with what I'm going to say. But it is about how Black artists don't have the wall space in the museums. And they're just starting to come to this, right? There's a lot of Black artists like Norman Lewis, for example, who made it in after he passed. But before that, they were all doing phenomenal artwork, but there was no value of the art because of who deems what great art is. They were actually letting people know that night that why does he get to talk about the Black body and the issues facing African Americans and Black folks around the world? Why does he get to have his work on the wall and it be about my struggle? And that's what it's about. And that's the conversation that needs to happen. But I don't think someone needs to answer for it. But it does put CAM, anybody's SLAM, anybody, major institutions, on alert that people are cognizant about what's going on. We're not letting stuff slide anymore, and we want to make sure we're represented fairly and given the right opportunities, especially in this climate. So I thought my board members, I think the institution itself, I think we're all for example, Dee and Victoria and Lyndon being upset, definitely. We're all for that, because that's what makes the institution stronger. One of my phrases I always use with my kids is steel sharpens steel, and that made us strong. It made the community strong. Damon Davis is making the community strong, and we need that.
It will be interesting to see what happens after this. Is this going to be a moment for cultural and arts institutions in St. Louis to open the door for more, for artists who aren't as boldly represented? Is there going to be some real institutional change in our cultural institutions? What role are cultural institutions going to play in the climate of racial tension, of racial inequality in St. Louis, but also nationally? What sort of bold step? Is it going to just be we can keep putting art up and not using it for art activism or artivism? Or is it just going to be we're going to be neutral spaces? And I think what I'm hearing from the Black arts community is that they would like a bolder stand. And I think that's fair. I think it is a day and age where these cultural institutions cannot remain neutral.
And to that end, one of the questions that's been raised is questions of accountability. And that means that people have actually responded to CAM's kind of most recent and formal statement saying that they're not going to take down the work. Some of that has been rejected by people in the arts community as not enough. I'm curious what either of you thinks about that rejection.
I mean, they're entitled to reject it. I understand that. I mean, you can't make everybody happy. Because if you take it down, there are going to be people that are going to be disappointed who are African-American, who also believe in what the folks who are rejecting it believe also. The fact that they did something about it, that they listened to this, and in a major institution they made some kind of change, which is, I think that's a bold step. And that's not the end, but it's definitely a bold step because it lets you know that they're listening. And then I think CAM is going to do an excellent job going forward of explaining their position on why this happened, what we need to do going forward to make it better so this doesn't happen again.
I'm very impressed that they are taking this situation seriously, like any institution, they're accountable to their donors and to their base, but it's an opportunity for them to have made a bold statement about the state of racial tensions in St. Louis.
The Contemporary Art Museum responded to critics by deciding to keep the exhibition up in its entirety, but to make some modifications. So they are building a wall around the particular pieces in question, and they're also soliciting input from the public, which they can give at the museum. And they're posting a kind of warning in the lobby so that people can see it the minute they walk in the building. Contemporary Art Museum Director Lisa Melandri explains it this way.
We need to let the public know from the second they walk in about what issues has this exhibition raised. And I think that that's a really important point of transparency.
Do you think their accommodations are satisfactory?
Good question. I think it's satisfactory, but I think it's also a dicey game. But I think what we did this time warrants that type of warning. It warrants a reaction from us to show the world, to show the community that, yeah, we're listening to what's going on. Taking it down could have been better, maybe? I don't know. But I just think that this was a good step in the right direction. I think people are listening.
The warning is actually very interesting because, as we all know, the warning is going to mean that people are more interested. So it's actually going to increase the stakes of the artist and the art and the value and things like that. So in some ways, it's going to serve the viewership in the sense that it's going to bring more people in. It's probably, from what my read is of that evening, it's probably not enough in terms of what the artists, what the African-American artists in the community were asking for. In that sense, if I'm using that as a gauge, it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go far enough in terms of how are you going to package this so that it is more palpable, so that it is doing its political role in questioning the use of the black body.
Ultimately, do you think that this exhibition and the controversy surrounding it will ultimately be good for St. Louis, bad for St. Louis?
No, I think the controversy will be good for St. Louis. I think any type of contentious situation where people have to talk about stuff and they're not in agreement, they have to find a way to communicate, find some common ground. I think it's always great.
And here is where we agree. I also think that the controversy surrounding this in the long term will have some positive aspects to it. I think it has put, for a lay audience, people who are not artists, people who go to museums, I think it will put on their radar the idea of subject matter and authorship, the idea of representations of marginalized bodies, and how that itself is a political commentary in ways that maybe they hadn't thought of before. I think the Contemporary Art Museum is going to emerge as a leader in this when they begin to take bolder stands and when they begin to reach out to the community. I think the black art community, we all now know that they have a very visible presence and extremely powerful messages, and that art can help our community move forward. I think we have a long way to go to change any large institution in the United States and in St. Louis to make them more inclusive, to make sure each player in the community gets equal representation and they're valued the same. So in the long run, I think I'm very impressed with the black arts community and how they're rallying around and educating all of us. And I think they're putting us all to the challenge to think more critically about this.
That was Shanti Parikh and Jason Wilson talking about a contemporary art museum exhibition that's been a hot topic of discussion in recent days.
And this is Cut and Paste, produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold.
At this point, both CAM and its lead curator have publicly apologized. However, the work will remain up until the show closes in December. Cut and Paste is a production of St. Louis Public Radio.
The music you heard throughout is by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.